Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone out, and I thank the pastor for an opportunity to share the word this morning, but I'm not quite sure what the message was for me, because the title is Dealing with Conflict. But we have no conflict, do we? No. My pastor loves me, I know that. He just gave me a challenge, which I accepted. There was three churches in a community that decided they were going to have revival services, and they would, the churches were Methodist, Baptist, and Presbyterian, and they were going to get together and have special meetings, and so they did it, and when it was over, they decided, well, we ought to get together and see how it benefited our churches. And the Methodist minister said, well, we got four new families, four new members. And a Baptist preacher said, well, we did better than that. We got six new families or members. And the Presbyterian pastor said, well, we did better than that. We lost 10 troublemakers. I see you did the math. Well, the old saying, to live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, that's a different story. Let's ask God's presence. Father, thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. My prayer this morning, Lord, is that you will speak to our hearts. Not anything that I have to say, but, Lord, what you have to say. And I pray, Lord, that we would be sensitive to what your Holy Spirit is speaking to us as we hear from your word today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think most of you probably know I was a teacher for 35 years. And across the hall from me was a young lady that we got to have a relationship with as we taught together there for a number of years. And today, she is retiring as well. Well, she has a couple days left, but she's still in her heart. She is retired. Kathy Hartsock, thank you for your years. But anyhow, we know what conflicts are about, believe me. And I know they're easier to start than they are to settle as a teacher. But anyhow, I walked in the room one day, and this kid gave this other kid a push, shove. I said, what in the world did you do that for? He said, well, it says in the Bible, do unto others as they do to you. Well, he didn't quite have that scripture down pat, but we saw a lot of conflicts in our time. We have conflicts everywhere. We have conflicts in our marriages, in our family, in our workplace, in our communities. It's everywhere. But not in the church, right? No, I wish that was true, but that's not true. Today's message is not about troublemakers. I want to make that clear at the beginning. It's not about troublemakers in the church. It's about conflicts that arise in churches. How many would love to have most of you would love to have your names in the Bible? Now, some of us already achieved that. My favorite book is Daniel. But it would be nice to have your name in the Bible. But how many would want your name in the Bible if you were having a conflict with another person in the church? That wouldn't be so great, would it? Well, that's what happened in our scripture today that we have. We have two ladies that have a disagreement. Like I said, they're not troublemakers. They were leaders in the church. They loved the Lord. But they got caught up in a conflict. It's kind of interesting that Paul mentioned these two names by women, or these two women by names, because he knew this letter was going to be read to the church. And he also knew that the church already knew there was a conflict. This wasn't news to them. We know that they were not the first ones to have a conflict either. You remember Paul and Barnabas, and back in Acts chapter 15, they had a conflict, didn't they? Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along on a missionary journey, and Paul objected. And in fact, they went their separate ways. Paul took Silas, and Barnabas took John Mark. Also, Paul had a conflict with Peter. In Galatians, you can read about that. It was over a relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. Peter was okay with eating with the Gentiles until the other Jewish people came, and then he disassociated himself with the Gentiles and went to eat with the Jews. And Paul didn't think that was right. And it says in the scripture, I opposed Peter to his face. So there's two instances that Paul had conflicts. And if you remember when you read Galatians, Corinthians had a number of relational issues that Paul talked about. So why is there conflict in the church? Well, number one, you're an imperfect person. We are all imperfect persons. If you ever find a perfect church, as soon as you walk into it, it's imperfect. And also, we have different types of personality. God made us that way. We wouldn't want all people to be alike in personalities. And as long as those two things are here, there will be conflicts that arise in the church. Paul's very concerned about this issue, though, concerned enough to mention their names. And he wanted to make sure that this got resolved. So let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I plead with Euodia, I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Well, we're going to deal with verse 2 here first. Who were these two ladies that were having this conflict? All we know about them is what's in these two verses, because they're not mentioned anywhere else. But there is a number of things we can learn about them from these two verses. And the most obvious one, we know their names. And just like most biblical names, they're never easy to pronounce. The one was Eodia, and her name means prosperous or successful. And Synergy, her name means fortunate or lucky. I don't think she was too lucky getting that name, or fortunate. But anyhow, did you know in New Testament times they had nicknames? You didn't know that? Well, I just informed you they did. And Eoda was called Odie. And Synergy was called Chi. I thought of Sin, but that didn't sound right. You're probably thinking, yeah, I know, Dan, you just don't want to pronounce these names over and over. Oh, you're right. That's true. That's why I'm using their nicknames. Who were these ladies? Well, they were Gentile women that lived in the great city of Philippi. And if you remember, when Paul and Silas first came to Philippi back in their first trip, in Acts chapter 16, it tells us that these women would gather by the riverside and have a prayer meeting. So when Paul and Silas arrived there, there wasn't any synagogues. These Greek ladies will probably were converted to Judaism and were having their prayer meeting along this river. So where did Paul and Silas go? They went to this prayer meeting, and they shared the gospel. And if you remember, one name is mentioned. Lydia accepted Christ as her Savior and opened her heart. And I imagine there were other women that were there that did the same. Now, years later, we have these two ladies, Odie and Chi, who were clearly in positions of leadership with respect to the ministry of the church in Philippi. These were not troublemakers, like I said. These were godly women. They were women that Paul loved and respected very much, because they labored with him. It tells us in verse 3, they contended by my side for the cause of the gospel. I can't help wonder if these two ladies were part of that prayer meeting back when Paul and Silas first came and opened their hearts to Christ as well. Don't know for sure, but could very well be. But the point is that they were believers, or Paul would not have added on that they were among those whose names are written in the book of life. If your name's in the book of life, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Another conclusion that we can draw from the scripture is what Paul does not say about these ladies. He doesn't mention that they had any doctrinal errors. You know, Paul, he wasn't bashful. If there's something that they were arguing over that was doctrinal, he would have corrected it. He doesn't take either side in this conflict. So we're pretty sure that it had nothing to do with doctrine or theology. Also, he doesn't mention that either of the ladies were involved in sin. If they had been, he would have told them. So we can take from this that this problem that they have, this conflict that they have, does not involve theology, doctrine, error, or sin. But we can also conclude that this was a significant conflict that was going on between these two ladies, because Paul not only names them, But he also found out about it, and he's in prison in Rome, 800 miles away. So it had to be a significant conflict in the church. We don't know what the problem may have been, but we know that they did meet in homes from time to time. And they didn't, like I said, they didn't have synagogues then. And so could it be that maybe they were trying to outdo each other in hosting church services? Well, we don't know. Conflicts can arise from many things, you know, from pride, jealousy, from selfishness. A lot of times, conflicts in the church will arise because of personality clashes. You know, there's several types of personalities that don't always mesh real good. But the point is, there was this conflict in the church. But why was it so important for Paul to include this in his letter, even naming names? Well, I think it was because it had already caused division in the church, or it had the potential to cause division in the church. But I have a feeling that it had already caused disunity among the people at Philippi in the church. In verse 2, Paul said, "I plead with you." Now that's a strong suggestion. That's a earnest plea, appeal to these ladies. Some of the translations say, "I implore you." Others say, "I entreat you." And still others say, "I urge you." I kind of like the word plead myself, because it's saying, please settle this conflict for the sake of the gospel. And this isn't something that Paul could overlook. And it isn't something God would overlook. It isn't something that you learn to live with. Conflict never is. It was something truly that needed dealt with and resolved. So how do we handle conflict in the church? Well, in Matthew 18:15, it tells us how to handle conflict if a brother or sister sins against you. But we already decided that this was not a sin issue. However, the steps that they present in Matthew, the first two steps are similar to what Paul is suggesting here as well. And the first step is go to the person that offended you, or you have a conflict with, or you have a disagreement with. Go to that person and speak the truth in love. Before you ever go to anybody that you have a conflict with, make sure you take the Holy Spirit along. Make sure you are prayed up so that emotions don't take over. Now, Paul is asking these ladies to sit down and resolve this. And then he says, do it with the mind of Christ. Well, what's that mean? What's the mind of Christ? Well, back in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, Paul told us what the mind of Christ is all about. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And with a mindset like that, first of all, there shouldn't be a conflict. But with a mindset like that, we should be able to resolve our conflict. If Christ means anything to our lives, to us personally, then to be of the same mind and the same love, full of agreement, and having the same way of thinking as our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ has. However, our minds, because of our human nature, tend to be selfish and conceited at times because of our old sinful nature that we still deal with day in, day out. My family have been part of Manual for a long time, beginning in the early 60s. Reverend Fowler was our pastor, and we've been through a number of pastors over those number of years. And I came here to go to Messiah. That's another story. But there's something else that happened on June 6th, but it was 1966. That's when I actually graduated from Messiah College. You can do the math. It's been a while. But God led me here. God got me through school, led me into teaching, and we were so happy when we found Emmanuel Church. It was just like our church back in Lewistown. Anyhow, ever since we've been here, do you realize there's never been a conflict at Emmanuel Church? What are you laughing at, Roger? Yeah, we know better than that, don't we? Yeah. I don't think there's any church that can say that. I do wish it was true, but it's not. Back in a number of years ago, we gave birth to a daughter church named Daybreak. It wasn't an easy birth because we lost our focus and there were conflicts that developed. And when I say we, I mean both groups. God was doing a new thing in his church, and we got in his way. It was more about us than it was about him. However, God always wins, doesn't he? God's plan for this new church was achieved, and healing took place. And I'm proud to say that both churches are preaching the gospel today. There's another situation that came up in our church many years ago. The people involved are not any longer here. But they had a disagreement. And instead of going to each other and settling the conflict, they began to go to different people and tell their story of how so-and-so hurt me or did this to me. Well, you know what happens then. People start taking sides. And before you know it, the church is in disunity. That's called triangulation. Should never happen in the church. We need to go to the person that we have the issue with and settle it. You know, one of Satan's ways of getting our eyes off of our goal here at Emmanuel in every church, is to seek to destroy our witness to the world and harm our effectiveness of the church in sharing the gospel. His best way of doing that is by causing us to be with odds at each other. He might not be able to attempt you to sin. Gross sins or embrace false doctrine or anything like that. But if he can get you to have a problem with another person in the church, then he can effectively silence your witness of Jesus. So Paul is asking these ladies, will you please sit down together and agree in your mind with God, because they had lost their focus. You know what they were focusing on now was their disagreement, their conflict. And Paul saying, can you set that aside for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you want your conflict with someone in the church to hinder a non-believer from receiving Christ as their Savior? I don't think so. I don't think there's any conflict worth that. If you've heard me speak before, you've probably heard this before, but I use it because it means a lot to me. It kind of keeps me humble and where I need to be. It's called the gaze and glance illustration. Gaze, G-A-Z-E, you know what that means, to stare, to focus on something. That's what my wife likes me to do when I'm driving. But I like to do the other one called glance. So that can cause conflict too, you see. A quick look at a glance. And what happens is this conflict becomes our focus. That's what we're focusing on. God's up here. We're glancing at God. God, when are you going to help me here? I got a problem. That's not the way we operate with God. Our focus has to be on God. And then we can glance at our problem, but seek God for the solution. I really like that because over the last year, it has hit me so many times that I got my focus on the wrong thing. And once I get it back on God, things go a lot better. Paul had a second step that in verse 3 that he offered. It says, yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. So he's saying, we need somebody to come along beside these ladies. It can't just be anybody. It needs to be a mature Christian woman or man who can sit down with these two people that are opposing one another and help them get focused back on God. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. That's pretty easy to understand for me. So a second action that Paul is saying is that there are times when we need to come beside people and encourage them that this is hindering the gospel. This could cause disunity in our church. Well, Paul in this verse here asks somebody identified as true companion. I don't know who that might be. But another word for that would be comrade. Or literally, it means yoke fella. You know, a yoke that they keep the cattle together around their neck as they plow the fields. That's what they're talking about, bringing a third party in and getting this resolved. Helping them to refocus and resolve their conflict for the sake of the gospel. I keep adding that because that's the thing that will change the situation. As I said several times, these ladies were not troublemakers. They were part of Paul's ministry team at Philippi. But the team could not function properly because this conflict was causing disunity. To see a non-believer turn away from the gospel because of what they see happening in a church between two Christians would be sad, wouldn't it? Let me conclude with a couple applications. We here at Emmanuel Church represent God to the community and the surrounding areas. We, the church, you and me, represent Jesus in his gospel of grace. We are a gospel team, just like Paul had a gospel team in Philippi. They were a team. They worked together to share the good news. But a problem came up. We want to share the love of Jesus, and we want to share the gospel of grace to our community. And that community night that's coming up would be a great time to do that. However, we know that because of our human nature, there will be conflicts in our church. There will be. But it's kind of like sin. I'm not saying your conflict is a sin, but it's like if you commit a sin. I don't know about you, but as soon as I say the wrong thing, or I do the wrong thing, I know it. The Holy Spirit challenges me. And I try to keep a short list. Ask for forgiveness immediately. That's what we need to do with conflicts. They will arise. They are going to happen. But we need to seek the mind of God. We need to get back our focus back on Christ and not on our conflict. And again, I say, for the sake of the gospel, we need to have a unified team. And like Coach Oiler used to say, there's no I in team. A team is a team. We work together. And when one person causes a conflict with another person, destroys the team. So we need to pray that we will keep very short conflicts, that we will resolve them in a quick order. And if they continue, then we need mature Christians, men and women, to come alongside and bring a resolution It all goes back to the mind of Christ, doesn't it? We need our focus on the right thing. Well, the good news is, I got two action steps here in closing. The good news is that our names are written in the book of life that Paul talked about. That's how we know those ladies are Christians. They're not troublemakers. If we accepted Christ as our Savior, we received the free gift of salvation. And our name is in the book. And someday, we will stand before God. He'll open the books. And if your name's there, he will say, come in to my heavenly, to your heavenly home. Well, if your name isn't in the book, I think today is the perfect day to get it written in there. I call it the decision of your life for eternity. The decision of your life for eternity. Second action step that I'm suggesting is that if you have a breakdown in relationship with any of your brothers or sisters in Christ, and that could include members of your family, pray that God will give you a humble heart and a gentle spirit to go to that person and resolve that conflict. Ladies and gentlemen, life is too short to live in conflict. We just had another friend that used to go to this church, Bill McCurdy, who passed away suddenly at the age of 53. People, we have no guarantee that we'll be here tomorrow. So we need to do both of these steps if you haven't. But we need to go to our brothers and sisters and endeavor to resolve any conflict that we have, once again, for the sake of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, you know the heart of each person here this morning and listening on live stream. If their name is not written in your book of life, I pray, Lord, that they would take this opportunity this morning to invite Jesus into their hearts by simply praying this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I open my heart to you to come in and make it clean. Save me from my sin. And Father, write my name in the book of life today. All you have to do is pray that prayer with a sincere heart. And when you stand before God, you will have your name in the book. I also pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us this morning, Lord, concerning this issue of conflict and disagreement. And that if we have an issue with another person, that we will realize, dear Father, that it's not pleasing to you. And Lord, it can cause disunity and division in the church. Lord, we all lose our focus at times. But Lord, my prayer this morning is that you would speak to hearts that need to make it right with somebody. And I pray, Lord, that they would do that this very day for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray it in Jesus' name.